Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
Good evening to everyone, and God bless you. I come in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus tonight, and I pray everyone is safe. And we're speaking from Louisiana, just about facing a Category 3 or 4 hurricane in about maybe 2 days. So we're prepared for that, and in the matchless name of Jesus, we know we will overcome any adversities that we have tonight. I just come to, and I pray that as we share history and genetics and archaeological finding, and then even just dealing with the study of man anthropology, that we'll learn more and more. For some reason, we know that different things haven't been taught in our public schools. For what reason, I could only stipulate, but I have a general idea why those things are not taught about what others other than Europeans did have done, invented, or discovered. excuse me. I'm having a little problem with the sinus tonight, but I ask that you bear with me. Tonight we said we was going to start by a talk with our promoter, Reverend Rodney Williams, Roderick Williams, and we're going to do it just a little bit different, but I would like to just start off tonight talking about certain things that are current that's going on today to make us aware of it. And as always, I would always like to say, please get out and cast your vote. I cannot tell you who to vote for, but I ask that you weigh who's more intellectual, who has more compassion, who have the love of God in their heart, and who's not the evil part of that person to vote for that person, and person that's going to be more transparent. That's who we want, and that's going to support not some people, but all of the people. Amen. That's what I really truly hold deep in my heart. Well, I'd like to start off tonight just talking about our president. It now is out of the hospital, and I ran into something at church Sunday. After church was over, I usually ask if anyone would like to add anything or say anything before I dismiss my parishioners. And one lady asked me about forgiving Donald Trump, our president, forgiving him. Do I feel sorry for what's happened to him to come up with COVID-19? And I told her when he first came down with it, for a second I did ponder, but I know as my Christian faith, it won't allow me to wish anything bad on anyone. But I was talking with my brother and myself, and both of us are Christian, and we had to just ask ourselves a question. But at the same time, I always know that regardless of what you do, my Bible tells me I forgive you, and that I don't hate you. I may resent what you do, but I don't hate you. Well, and I pray for him. I pray for a healing of him, although he's a misogynist, xenophobic, racist, a bigot. I still pray for him. Now, I want us, as we think about this, I was wondering if a person know anything about New Orleans. And when you think about New Orleans, for Mardi Gras, they have almost 1 million people on the streets just moving around. and not counting the people that's there already, they have right at 1 million people there. And so if I would take a 18-wheel pickup truck and just run over, just totally run over 100,000 people and kill them, and they would arrest me for killing the 100,000 people I ran over in the tractor trailer, would anyone have sympathy on me? Would people feel sorry for me when I'm handcuffed, going to court, and they give me a death sentence? Would someone feel sorry for me? And the people say, well, no, you killed 100,000+ people. Well, so did our president by not taking actions and what he done. And he's still not admitting that this virus is dangerous. He's telling people, don't be afraid. And he leaves the hospital earlier than he's supposed to leave. But people don't understand that they have a complete medical center right in the White House where they can take care of him. And if anyone observed him, if you go back and observe him, he was gasping for breath. He was taking deep breaths every time he speak because he wasn't getting his air that good. So don't look at him as he's totally overcoming. But he has access to so many things that the average human being, just a regular individual, will not have. Being the president, he have all things at his access that he can get all this medicines and things. And some of us with our insurance won't cover the most expensive treatments. We just won't get it. That's why a lot of people are dying. But nevertheless, we are going through some times in America and just in the world where there are fires were burning in Oregon and Colorado. It was burning in Nevada. It was burning in California and Washington, the state of Washington. Fires were everywhere, burning millions and millions of acres of forest down and trees. Then you have your hurricane that this year, it ran out of alphabet, so now we had gamma in the Greek alphabets. And those who know, if you say gamma, you're looking at, you got alpha, beta, gamma, delta. So you're at your third alpha, you know, you're dealing with a third alphabet. Well, the Greek alphabet, because you're finished with the English alphabet. So we have an unusually large amount of hurricane because of global warming. And our president will not accept the fact that there's global warming instead of listening to the scientists, meteorologists, and other those who study weather phenomena and other things, that he thinks that he knows everything, and he's very, very in essence, he don't know. That's not his fear. And even the field that he's in, where he took a business at Wharton College, and he wasn't a good student there. And he's not that shrewd of a businessman. And most of you guys that's listening, at, if you think that I'm kidding with you about him not being a shrewd business, find how many times he's filed for bankruptcy, how many places have failed, and then when the taxes come out, you're going to find out he violated different laws. And after violating those laws, this man didn't file taxes. I mean, if he did, he filed them, but he fraudulently did things. And so we're gonna see coming up. We will see. Whenever, if the Lord say the same, and if he's taken out office, if he lose the election, and I'll let it be known that I'm not a supporter of him, because I'm not a supporter of a bigot, a racist bigot, and he allowed people to understand that he bagged white supremacy. Well, the white supremacy is against me being treated equally and will murder me as some of these police have done. And I would say 99% of the police officers are good, decent people, but you always have a small percentage in everything. You got good white folks, you got bad. You got good black folks, you got bad. You got good police, you have bad. But the bad should be punished just like when you arrest an African-American kid. That kid has to be punished. You punish the kid, but when a white kid do the same crime, he either get a probation or he don't do half as much time as the young black kid. And knowing that even to this very day, it's systemic racism. The systems in America is bent, they're made to keep African Americans inferior to other, like Caucasian, that you could only go so far. And that goes for Hispanics and others too, that white America have it whereas you're going to always be behind eight ball. And that's a proven fact. It's always hidden on the undercurrent. And every time they give us something, it's an undercurrent where they take it back. For instance, in the 13th Amendment freed the slave, but that very same 13th Amendment said if a person ever was got in trouble and was sentenced and was incarcerated, then that person could be put into servitude, and that's what made a slave again and work for nothing. That's why there's so many people. If we make up from 11 to 13% of America, that's why, all right, brother, 60-some percent of those in prison in America is black. So it's astounding that when they freed enslaved African Americans, that they didn't have anything, and they put them to live where there's nothing. And this is a true factor. And you could ask any sociologist and someone in political science, they understand wherever, even criminal justice, wherever you find poverty, you'll find crime. And we know we've been through Jim Crow. We know we're going through systemic racism. It's known by these very same people that make the laws for this country that systemically that we have been placed behind the eight ball. And our congressmen and senators, those in at the White House that's in Washington, D.C., are still voting to keep us really where we are. I've seen certain African-American ladies were celebrating women's right to vote, and I had to tell them that was 100 years ago and that women got the right to vote, but that was just white women. It's only been 50 years like black women got the right to vote. So you can't equate yourself with women's rights. First give African-American rights for the black African-American male and female. Get your rights first. Do not allow anyone to split you apart and say we're fighting for women's rights. Because once you did it before, the only person got rights was white female. Also, they passed affirmative action bill. And in that affirmative action, it was saying they were not hiring blacks minorities to blacks were minorities, hiring minorities in different jobs like plant and other jobs like skilled labor and their skilled jobs, and that they were going to allow them to come in, so they had to accept so many of them in if they would get money from the federal government. Well, nonetheless, at the same time, African American were all happy and very smart. Now we're going to get in. Well, at the same time they passed that, they turned that a white female is a minority, which she is not. A white female outnumber everyone in America. Right now, today, is more white females than white males, black males, or black females. So they are not a minority, but they had it, so if they fire a Mexican or a Hispanic or if they fire a black, all they have to do is put a white female in their place because she constituted a minority. and you still had the same inequity because you had these two white male and white female making largest amount of money, and you took the money away from the people that it was put there to help. So don't allow anyone to tell you. We have a lot of inner problems as African Americans. We need to quit killing each other. We need to try to get an education. We need to raise our children. And the buck stops with us. It starts with us. We need to start uplifting ourselves and start being entrepreneurs because we see that white America is not willing to share the wealth. As plain and simple as it could be, they are not willing to share the wealth. Right now, they're in an uproar because America has about, if it's 13% blacks in America, it's about 16% Hispanics in America. That's over a quarter of the people that are there. The rest of it is Asians and all these other people who are brown and yellow who make up another percentage. Within by 2040, you're going to find out that the minority people are going to be the one who rules the majority coming by 2040. So right now they're doing everything to kill off the blacks. They're doing everything to put blacks under subjection. They do everything from voting to gerrymandering, drawing out specific lines so they could have white representation. But the devil is a lie. I want us to get out in numbers and vote. Now, tonight I talked with Reverend Williams, and we agreed that we were going to take it and just do just a little different because oftentimes I, after I finish giving my lecture, I ask, and it's very seldom, sometimes I get someone to ask a question, and this is something that we as a people, we should want to learn about ourselves. I talk a lot about Africa and the historical thing about Africa. I talk about the Hebrew people because they were also black, and I tell how they were black, and I tell how to find out what color they were, and I talk about the Egyptians to show that they were black. I do a lot. I show that Moses had passed for Egyptian, and during the time he was in bondage in Egypt and he was in Egypt, that African, the Nubians and others were in power. Even if you pay attention how even when Joseph was in bondage in Egypt before the children of Israel, and he became governor. His brother thought he was an Egyptian. And the pyramids show you that the people were dark-skinned people. So it's one of these things that history have been whitewashed, and when you study history today, what you get is a flavor of vanilla, and that comes from the Europeans. He who write the narrative make the people look the way they want them to look and things like that, and write the story they want the story projected or told. And it's so far from the truth. Whites didn't live in that area of the country at that specific time until Alexander the Great came, maybe about 300 or 400 years before Christ. So it's things that we need to look into and study. They know who the African-Americans truly are, but African-Americans don't know who they truly are. We don't know our history. We can take Ancestry.com, a DNA test, and DNA.com, and we can take these different tests, and they can say, well, we found you have matches they might say Zimbabwe. They might say, you have matches in Nigeria, Cameroon, Yoruba, Ghana, you know, and other places like they said about myself. But then they even said with me, I had about close to 11% of Great Britain, meaning white. And I understand that because I understood the thing of the rapes that occurred in slavery time. And so with that is I have some white ancestors. with that. And it's things that white America never, they haven't repented. They have never really repented for the transgressions that they face upon African Americans, never compensated them, no reparation for over 200 years of enslavement, rape, lynching, beatings, burning, you name it, sodomizing, you name it, anything that could be done was done to the African American female and male during that time, the advantage that was taken over them. They wouldn't have lived. And I know sometime I said I couldn't have taken it. They would have had to kill me. And I had to come back and think, if my grandparents, my great-grandparents would have thought of that, I wouldn't be here today. So they took it that I might live. And so the reason when the, since they took it that I might live, I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to make some noise. I will make some noise and let people know that African Americans are some great people. We may not act that way. And sometimes I'm just so outraged and I'm so embarrassed the way we act, and black females, and we video them fighting like savages, you know, and that's what they tape. Now, although we where did it come from? Where we get it from them? They saw how savage they react with us. So we treat our own people the way whites treated us back then. No sympathy at all. We just video, and I get tired of sometimes if I go on Facebook, if I look at things, they're videoing these black young ladies out here fighting like animals. And it hurts me that we act like we don't know any better. Instead of videoing and tell them to stop, enough men ought to jump in and pull them apart and tell them, we're not going to have this. You got to learn to love one another. That's what it's all about. And so with that said, I'm going to go to our lead man. Well, the talk show is History Talk by Dr. LaVert Kemp, myself. But I have someone that helped me and helped narrate things with me, and that is Reverend Roderick Williams, who I esteem very highly and who I really believe in my heart that God have put him in the position that he could teach his people. And he could teach them both the study of God theology, but at the same time, he could teach them salvation about saving a lost soul. He could teach them something about anthropology, history, and let them know where we come from, whose we are, and where did we come from. So with that said, I want to just say I thank him a lot, and I understand and want him to know that I look up to him in that aspect, that he's trying to help his people. And we need so many more sisters and brothers like him, building the kingdom of God and yet esteeming those who have been downtrodden. So with that, I'm going to call on Reverend Williams to come in now and see if we have any questions that need to be answered. And I was standing, I would answer them to the best of my ability and through the things that I've learned, putting different things together. So would you bear with us? And he'll be on just in 1 second. Bless you. How's it going, Reverend William?
God bless you, Pastor. God bless you. Good to be here with you tonight, and thanks for doing this. Wanted to bring some questions to you tonight off the table. Things that you're listening to people talk about and people asking questions about. So I wanted to bring them to you tonight so we can put them out in the open and give people a better understanding on what you say and what the show is really about, teaching who we are and whose we are. And one of the main questions that come up, Pastor, is a lot of debating going about, is there a real God and who is God and is he real? So I want you to answer that question for the people to the best of your ability, as you say, because I know you're a theologian, so you studied very well. So I want that question to be answered for the people, because that's a question that's on the table It's one of them. So I'll let you answer that now, Pastor. Thank you.
Who is God?
Hmm.
God can be defined as the creator and sustainer of all life, the creator of inanimate objects and animate objects. Who is God? The omnipotent creator, the all-powerful creator, the one who is sovereign, that could do what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted, to whoever he wanted, the one that spoke this world into existence. Oftentimes science come in and try to put their swing or their thesis or hypothesis on man, and they give the Big Bang Theory, and they give all these theories, and through a cosmic explosion and things, man came about, and man came out to see from a single cell amoeba and mutated to being apes, and apes into human beings. Well, that's not true. I could stand and tell any scientist, not just through my study and my degrees in theology, but just its size does not add up. There were zoos in Rome before Christ. There were zoos all over Africa before Christ. There have been monkeys always, and gorillas and chimpanzees in Africa. And they say we evolved from an ape. If man evolved from an ape, why apes are not evolving into man right now? Why chimpanzees or monkeys are not still evolving into a human being? The way they talk, you may go to the Bronx Zoo or Audubon Zoo in New Orleans, or the zoo right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and pass by where they keep the chimpanzees, and the chimpanzee talk to you one day, say, "Hey, man, let me out here. I'm a man right now." We know that's not going to happen. So let us get away from that single cell amoeba, this little thing that come out almost like a tadpole looking and came out and began out to see and was able to live on land and came into a human being. No. The Bible tells us, and so many folks try to say, well, the Bible is not true. Because the Bible says that man was created 6,000 years ago. I would like to, I submit to you, I'd like to know where that is coming from. And I know where it's coming from, but don't get me wrong. What you're trying to tell me is trying to go back past Methuselah and back and trying to put a certain age on Adam and Eve. I call both of them Adam because that's what God called. Eve called her Adam. In Genesis, the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse, it tells us that when God created, he named both of them Adam, which means mankind, in the days he created them. That when God created them, the Bible says in the beginning that God created the heavens and earth. And it talks about how when he created man, and some people say that we created like God, but God didn't mean when he created man that man was created, because God is a spirit. And so we've never seen God, but we know that it had to be someone to create this world. I choose to think it was Yahweh Elohim. El Shaddai. I choose to think that it's the sovereign God. Nothing came before him and nothing came after him. I love what the John says in the book of John. It starts off, it says, in the beginning. God has always been existent. He's the Alpha. He's always been in existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, there's two terms that they use, is logo and rhema. And now, if you use rhema, you're looking at a written word, but when the word became flesh and came down and lived among us, talking about Jesus the Christ, Jesus the anointed one, when he came down, we beheld all God's glory in a human being. That's why they say the word became flesh and dwell among us. In other words, he pitched a tent. He was here temporary with us. A tent is a temporary, that word dwelling place, dealt with tents. And so, and it's a process what we use in theology called kenosis, meaning God emptied himself and came down. But the Bible just says in the beginning, it does not give a specific date. And that everybody did come from. And then when science began to study, they have what they found, also why I believe in God, is I know that someone had to create us. I know somebody created the flowers, the birds, every insect that they have, that someone had to do, had to create it. And that person who created it was God. Now, I listened at Louis Armstrong when he said, and I tell my congregation oftentimes, I tell them when they ask me about God, I say, what you have to do when you wake up in the morning is go outside and you hear the birds chirping and you may see bees flying and you see butterflies and you see all these different animals and the sun is shining and the rain comes down and all these things come. Where do they come? Where did it start from? It started from God. Our Creator had to do something. And he put man on this earth last after he allowed it, where man, everything was to replenish the earth, more than one. And so with that said, God is a sovereign being and the first person to live. And now he has no beginning, no end. No one ever created God. He's not a mythological person. He's a true person who created each and everything, the animals, the vegetation, and everything else was created by God. And I'm a firm believer. And oftentimes I told a lady one time, maybe it wasn't a lady, but it was a young girl. She was in church, and she asked me, how do I know that there's a God? And I told her to get a fan and fan herself. And I asked her, did she feel anything? She said, yeah, wind. Now, the word wind is pneuma, and the word pneuma means spirit. And just the Bible says the spirit is just like the wind, because nobody knows where the wind comes from, neither where it goes, so is the spirit. God have created everything and has an order for everything. There's a season. There's a time that we plant things, and it's a time that we harvest. It comes the time we got to all eat and die. There comes the time you sleep. There comes the time you wake up. There's a time of sorrow. You know, to each thing, there's a season. And after I think about how God carefully orchestrated, man cannot make another man just come out and just make it. Two men can't breathe together and have a child. God made man and woman different so they would be able to be fruitful and multiply. Man in his DNA, man has an X and a Y chromosome, and females are different. They have two X chromosomes. So that's what makes them different. But only God was the one to be able to do these things. And God is not a human being. God is a spirit that made everything. And people say, how the Bible say we're made in his image? Yes, we are. Mind, emotion, and intellect. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We have a spirit. When God created man, the Bible say he breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. That word breathe is pneuma. It means wind. It means air. He breathed his spirit. He breathed life into man, and man became a living soul. So mind, emotion, and intellect. we can think above all animals, but yet we have a compassionate heart. Jesus wept.
Amen.
We know more than anything, because God, the Bible declared that God made man a little lower than the angel, and he told man that we are to subdue this world. We have this world under subjection, be the rulers of this world. And man now, no matter the largest whale, you could harp on the whale, the largest elephant, they have elephant God, where we can conquer any animal, but you can never conquer God.
My God. That's good. That's good, Pastor. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. So here's another one, Pastor. You hear a lot of people worshiping the Egyptian gods, the third eye and the emblems of the Egyptians and the Egyptian gods, Ra and all of those. So why is that so many people are pulled away from the true and living God and worshiping Egyptian gods and idol gods, Pastor?
Well, you have different beliefs all over the world. The Bible hadn't came out, and the people believed in whatever that they knew. If you would go back to the time of Moses,
mm-hmm.
if you remember, it was 10 plagues. Each plague was to defeat a god, whether it was the sun god, whether it was the river that fertile the land of the Nile, when he turned it to blood, and when he made the insects eat of all the agriculture, the crop, even when he made bars come over, they have gold calves that animal bulls that they worship, and they believed in the sun god, maybe Ra. And they believed the sun because the sun shining and came up. They had different beliefs that they had, but none wasn't God, because the same thing when the Apostle Paul was in Rome, and he went to Greece, when he went to the Areopagus, and he went there and he seen all these statues to different god, Diana, Zeus, and all these other idol gods. And he said, I see in all things that you're very superstitious. So I don't like people to tell me that I don't believe in people saying I'm religious, because a religion says I'm superstitious. I believe in something. I know what I believe in. I know I believe in an invisible God. And I know what all my faith is in. And I have a reason for believing in him. Now, there are so many other gods that they have. They said this cross with the circle, and I forgot the name of it, but that comes from Egypt. That's where we get our our cross from. And now
the cross with the circle on the top?
Yes. That was much before Jesus and the cross, and says this. A lot of things he said that Moses brought with him, teachers Moses brought with him, because Moses was a very well-educated individual. But notice Moses changed. Moses knew about astrology. He knew about leadership, about army, because he was Pharaoh's grandson. He was raised as Pharaoh's grandson, and being raised as Pharaoh's grandson, he went to the best schools and was taught by the best people. So with that said, he was able to do things, but the spirit moved on man. And man had to understand that they were worshiping all the different kind of animals and things like that. But at the same time, they knew about the true and living God, because Pharaoh let the people go. It was after Joseph was able to interpret dreams, the people listened to Joseph. And if right now, if I would tell people this right now, say, why are you a Christian? Because, okay, first of all, let me explain something to you. And this for my Caucasian brothers and sisters to listen at. It's only 850 million white folk all over the world, and this whole world is 850 million. But in the world population, it's 7.5 billion. So that's only like 11.5%. That's like if I had $100 and I give somebody $11, I'm going to have $89 left over. So whites don't make up a very small portion of the population. Matter of fact, they got hundreds and hundreds of millions more Africans than they have Caucasians. They have people of color, like people from India, almost double the white population, well, about double the white population. You go to the China, it might be three times the population of Caucasians. So you're looking at only a small part of people in creation. Man is very intelligent, and man is very smart. We have a lot to go by. We study in genetics, and God has given us the knowledge and wisdom from on how to understand how things go. Now, if we will go back, you know, to show you that it goes so far. They found what they call Lucy, skeletal remains, which they wanted to say was she was so short and things, a short lady in southern Ethiopia. They found the remains of a skeleton, they said, but they could tell it wasn't a total gorilla, but it was like human-like. Well, they call her Lucy. Lucy dated back to 3.18 million years ago. Also, now this is the point of view that I'm about to come to you with. 3.18 million years. Now, this is where I'm going with that. Now, 200,000 years ago, they found a skeletal remains of a female down around Zimbabwe, down that way. And when they found her, when they were able to get DNA from her, they called her Mitochondria Eve. You can write that down. Mitochondria Eve. And when they found Mitochondria Eve, it's just like, and I'll explain to you why they call her Eve. They found out that all contemporary, and that word contemporary means all modern people today, carry her DNA. And she was a black lady. Now you might say, well, the Bible says that the garden was in a rock. That's not true. The Bible did not say that. I do believe the landmass of Africa and Asia Minor or over that way over there in the Arab country was connected together. And I'll tell you why. And coming up, I do believe it because When they talked about where was the Garden of Eden, they called two rivers, the Gihon River and the Pishon River. You can look that up. When they talked about where was the Garden of Eden, I think it's the second or the third chapter of Genesis. Well, you will find out they used the Gihon, that the rivers that ran through it. They say the Gihon and the Pishon. It encompassed the land of Havilah, where there's Beldonium and gold, and it talks about Somaliland. So you have Somalia, and there's also Ethiopia. And you got so you're looking at, you have what you call the Blue Nile and the White Nile, and it goes around there. And those to the Nile River, they do not run in Asia. They don't run through the Holy Land, nor do they run to Iraq, modern day Iraq today, which you have the Tigris, the other two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. So the garden had to be very large if you're going to put every animal, every insect, and the people within that garden. It has to be very, very large to contain everything, all the animals. So it made the land had to be connected. And I did some research, and they said that like the Red Sea is maybe about 262 miles wide. But under that, they say they see like a foot bridge, meaning like mountains, different things. Like it was a land once years ago, it was land. So it's something that makes you think about it. But the lady name was Marcondia Eve. Everybody that they have this African lady DNA. That's how they know that even the scientists, the anthropologists, and others say they have this thing that, and these are white guys, they say out of Africa that everybody came from Africa. Now, I want you to understand all Africans, not black as tall, all Africans don't have full suit noses. All Africans are not the same complexion. Some are brown, and you have some that's albino, and you have some. And if you go into Sudan, you may have some of the darkest people in the world. But you have to understand that's where God chose to start life, in Africa. And if you would even study on genetics, like I was saying with Marcondia Eve, you will find out that a dark skin is dominant and light skin that comes from the recessive. What I'm saying is brown and black it comes from dominant genes. The light skin or the pale people like albino, they have recessive genes through a mutation. And that's how we get the different colors in people by mutation where their hair don't make the same gene. They lose their gene change your hair, your gene change the pigmentation or your melanin in your skin. It's called a mutation. And the call says that they have, and this is Gregoire Mendel, says that whites can have a recessive gene and blacks are a dominant gene. Now, it's important that we understand and we want to know how we get black and white people here on this earth. Well, you have what you call a mutation, and when you get an opportunity to look up that term mutation, because you're going to find out that through a mutation, now, through this mutation that white folk evolved. Now, I told you my Marcondia Eve was found in going toward the southern parts of Africa 200,000 years ago. But now most of your anthropologists and others said that out of Africa, where man moved to in Europe and other places, that transpired or that occurred in about 70,000 years ago. Well, they found fossils, and these other people found it. In Africa, they had all kinds. If you just use those few years ago, you'll find Africa always had bowls and artifacts that they were able to make. Now, if you can get a chance, look up that word mutation, M-U-T-A-T-I-O-N, a mutation, and find out. And again, that's Gregoire Mendel. He also has Mendel's Law. And he deal with your dominant and your recessive gene. Blue eyes is a recessive gene. If you ever notice, you don't find many white tigers. You don't find many white alligators. You don't find, they call albinos. You don't find white whales, just every now and then white dolphins and things, because that's why you have less white people in the world than any other races, because it's what you call more or less like an albino. So if they went through mutation, and black or brown skin is dominant. So you could take two of the blackest people in Africa, and they could come together and have a child, and that child could be born an albino. So what I'm saying, that child would come out white, with standard-leg blonde hair, and eyes could even be a different color. So you could get a white from a black, but you can't take two whites and make a black. So in other words, you could get the recessive from the dominant gene, but you can't get the dominant gene from the recessive. That's why they say if you had a 32nd ounce of blood or black blood in your body, you were black. So it's things that we need to learn about ourselves, and I think we'll feel better because they're not going to teach it to you. They have written about it. Don't get me wrong. It has been written about it, and they have different whites that have really did some study, and they've written about it. So, but one thing about it, they've written about it, but they don't put it in the books that's taught in the schools. They want to know, just for instance, I'm going to give you a nugget. Flavius Josephus, who's a Jewish historianist, Flavius Josephus, he wrote in a book, Antiquity of the Jews, that Adam and Eve had 32 sons and 23 daughters. But the Bible don't say how many it is. They just say it after Cain killed Abel that Adam and Eve had many more sons and daughters were given to Adam and Eve. You have to look at that as being the truth. So when you think about things, we try to limit God, and since the God is omniscient, God know everything before it's going to happen. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful, and God is all seeing and all knowing. And that's what that eye on the pyramid you talk about. They want to say we get our omniscience from that, all seeing and all knowing. That's what it is on the pyramid. And we, some different organizations even have it as one of their symbols. Just like even today, our doctors and the medical profession have a rod that Moses had with two serpents on it, and it represents healing. And that's what Moses told them when this is before, this is where they come from. When Moses was in the wilderness and the children of Israel were bit by snakes, and God told him just make that pole, a bronze pole, and put a serpent on it. And then when he hold it up, all that look up will live. And so the people live, and we're thankful for that. Amen. I hope I'm being helpful, and I hope I'm not going too fast. God bless you.
No, sir, it's very helpful, sir, and glad to be able to put these questions out. Okay, moving on, Pastor. I want to talk about the separation of the brothers, the 12 brothers of Israel, how the tribes got broken up and went in their separate direction, and is that a cause for all of the different religions that are out here, or were they mostly man-made?
The 12 tribes were not totally separated. This is what happened. Biblically, when they went into the promised land, land was given to each one. Some of them was on the east side of the Jordan, and some was on the west. You had two kingdoms. You had your northern kingdom and your southern kingdom. What you had was Benjamin was in your southern kingdom, and you had Judah was in your southern kingdom around Jerusalem. Long as King David was in office, they were together. He kept a united Israel. And later on, all of them worshiped the same God. That's why when Jesus would come in, he would leave from way around Nazareth and come in. And you notice that when they was talking on the day of Pentecost, they said devoted Jews from all parts of the country. Well, they did intermingle with other nations and married under that which God asked them not to marry. And it wasn't because it was race mixing. It was because a lot of them had idol God. Even Solomon allowed all the wives he had, 350 wives and 700 concubines, he would allow them, and when they come from wherever he married them from, they would bring an idol for them to go worship. They say Solomon had an idol on every hill for those ladies that he took in as wives. So when you're looking at it from that perspective, they didn't. They pretty much stuck together as Israelites. Some of them may have followed idol gods. God, we have to understand that it came about, and you have to understand, when God gave Abraham a son, he gave him Isaac. Isaac had kids, but the first one was Ishmael, who's supposed to be the father of the Arab race. He's not of the 12 tribe. He's not a part of the 12 tribe. Okay. Now, when by saying that, you go with the other, you know, Reuben, Simeon, Gad, Naphtali, Asher, you're talking about Joseph, you're talking about, after you talk Joseph, you're talking about Judah and another of like that. So now when you get those 12 brothers, that's who they came with. Now, Jacob had a brother named Esau. Esau was not classified as an Israelite. He was a Hebrew, but not an Israelite. The covenant was made not with his brother, although they had the same mother and father, but it was made with his 12 kids. That's why they say the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, later on, that they got stolen and through wars, and they're going to Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar, Assyria, Cyrus, and Turkey, and different places. They went Egypt. Israel was stolen around and taken into bondage in many countries for their disobedience to God, and he would allow them to go into bondage. But it's not the way we may think it is. It's not that they got off into it. But there are people that had lived all over the world, and they began to worship a different beliefs. Somebody, like even today, you have Buddha, Transcendental Meditation, you have Confucius, you have Islam, you know, you have so many different beliefs. And that's not built upon anything, but again, I like to say, about 3 billion people, the largest religion is Christianity. And if it wasn't true, you couldn't get three billion people to follow you. Off of a person that people were skeptical of following. You know David. You remember David, you remember his son Solomon? David did wrong, but people still followed him because of the grace of God. And it's time that we realize that even in the midst of everything that we're going through, God is God, and he sits high and he looks low. I saw that our president was going around with a mask and different things, and God might have just did something to open his eyes. Son, you've lied to the people. I'll make it where you have. I'm going to allow you to get it because you've been lying to the people too long. So that's what I deal with that one.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for that. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Let's talk about that powerful name of Jesus the Christ. Why should people believe in the Christ Jesus and who he is, and why should they believe in him, Pastor?
Well, the Bible has so many prophecies that were fulfilled. And these prophecies pointed toward the coming of Christ. It talks about knowing David knew over 1,000 years before he came. David knew who he was going to be. David knew what he was going to say on the cross. you go by, and Isaiah talks about being wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him. With his stripes, we're going to be here. You start going on and on, and you'll find out all these different individuals knew about Jesus coming, and they were prophesied about it. Even in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned and took a bite off the forbidden fruit, God said, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. And say, about you, it shall bruise your heel. You shall, the heel of Christ was going to be bruised, but he would crush the head of the serpent. Jesus defeated, it was talking about Jesus on the cross. Jesus is the seed of a woman. A woman does not carry the seed. A man's seed fertilizes a woman's ovary and produce a child. Jesus is the one that they were referring to. That's the first sermon that was preached in the Bible, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise your heel, and you shall bruise his head. That was the first sermon that was preached. Then Jesus did come and tell that Jesus was going to be born of the tribe of Judah, and talks about he was going to be born in Bethlehem. It all these prophesied, this was prophesied thousands of years before Christ ever came. And he fulfilled those prophecies that is coming. So that's how we know a lot of things about prophecy. And we understand that Jesus is the Messiah. They had been, the children of Israel had been waiting for so long about the coming Messiah, that the Old Testament spoke about the Messiah and what the Messiah will be able to do when he comes. That's why Jesus was healing to let people know, I'm the one you've been looking for. I am the Messiah. So when we look at it from that vantage point, we'll find out that Jesus is God. And why we believe in him. Most of us have been through something in life, and the Bible allowed us to understand that no matter what we've done, that was yesterday. Today is a different day. I like to say, weeping might endure for night, but joy cometh in the morning. God said, rain on the just as well as the unjust. In every life, some rain going to fall, but it's how we handle it and believe it in God. Once we put our faith in him, God has moved in so many ways. It was in Psalm that said what he was going to say on the cross. It was said, it was prophesied that they were going to break his legs like they would break other people that went up for a crucifixion. So we have so many things that show us who Jesus is, the true Messiah, and that's Yeshua HaMashiach. That's just Jesus Christ, the anointed one. So we want to be thankful on knowing so much about the prophetic things that talks about his coming and what he would do when he came. And that's why I'm just, when I talk about him, I get excited. But I understand what he truly means to me.
Amen. Amen to that. No, that's right. No, that's right. So, Pastor, why do you feel that there is so much discord among people about that topic right there, the topic of Jesus the Christ? There's a lot of, and it's been that way since he got on this earth, even before he got here. Why is that so heavy? Why is that so serious like that, Pastor?
Well, it's the nature of man. All the way through the Bible, man plotted against one another. One brother killed the other. In the beginning, Cain killed Abel. And all the way through the Bible, you had one fighting against the other. Jacob stole the birthrights of his brother. You name it, it went down the line. But God gives us those examples to let us know that we can do better. And even today, people don't want to change their lifestyle, so they don't want to bleed the word because the word cuts like a two-edged sword. The word going to let you know when you're not living right and what you're doing wrong. And man don't like to be told what we're doing wrong. We always want to be right, regardless to the fact that we're not. And so when we think about it from that standpoint, if the Bible says don't steal, the Bible says don't commit adultery or fornication. Well, fornication is going to bed with a lady having sex and you're not married. And I know just about every man has been through it. It's a sin. There are people that's in the homosexuality. They don't want to like to go to church because people speak against it and say it's abomination, but that's what the Bible says. So it's so much that's dealing with the Bible that man don't like because it's not man's word. The Bible tells us not to get drunk, but we like to go out and party, and then we brag the next day about, man, I was full of it last night. I did this here, so I don't know how I got up. I got up and I was in the bed with a strange woman. You know, and women the same thing. They go to bed and they go out young and go to bed with whoever was there with them when they got drunk. So when you're talking from that area about the Bible, and the Bible is a guide, I like to say it has all right turns and no left turn. Everything in it is about righteousness. But we're used to, the Bible says, we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Now, and he said, who's perfect? No, not one. So we would love to be perfect, but there's no perfect individual. And no matter how hard we try to be perfect, we still gonna fail. But that's all God expects out of you is to always give 100%. Well, once you give 100%, he don't expect anything further out of you. Give your best and do your best. And he knows. Because he's omniscient. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. You know everything before we're going to do it. You know, God allowed Jesus to perform all kind of miracles. And then today, man don't want to do it because if man can't don't see a miracle, if the church can't pray away COVID-19, then I don't believe in God. That's the way people look at it. It ain't real because someone taught them the wrong doctrinal concept. There's no such thing as a healing doctrine. Jesus here to authenticate that he was Yeshua HaMashiach, that the Messiah had come. That's why he was going around healing. And when the apostles did the healing, the reason they did it was because they were, what they were trying to do was they were trying to bring people. When the apostles were doing, God gave them power because they had to write the Bible and go out to people, and he had gave the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Lord, you know, teaching them to observe all things I've taught you, Lord, and which you always till the end. So with that said, is we all have this duty that he's given us to watch over one another's shoulder and to try to get things right, because we only have one.
Amen. Amen. That's good, Pastor. That's good. That's real good. That's all the questions that I have on the table tonight, Pastor. Thank you for altering the program and doing this so that the people can have some better clarity. So I thank you for that, sir.
Do you have any other person like that to question before we
The lines are open. If you have a question for Dr. LeVert Kemp, the line is open. Pick up your just unmute your phone and make yourself known and state your question or your comment or your statement. God bless you. Good evening. The line is open for you now. We wanted to take that pause and extend our invitation to anyone that was listening out there. Had a question, anything. There's no one, Pastor, so they're there. They're just not talking. So the line is back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. I would like to say God is real. When you wake up and you go outside, just think about Louis Armstrong. I see clouds of blue, skies of white, and I say to myself, what a wonderful world. When you wake up in the morning and you're able to see, walk, you're able to talk, and you have a reasonable portion of health and strength, and you say, thank you, Lord, because without him, we have no being. We can't move. We can't do anything. If God just do one thing, this whole world comes to him. Take away the oxygen that we breathe. Cut off the water, we may live for a couple of days, but without water, we can't survive. These are different elements and things that God has put on earth for our survival. We need to use and utilize those things God has given us to as survival things. That's why when God was making the vegetation and all this stuff, things that he made before he made, he made everything. Then the Bible says, but then he formed man from the dust of the earth. Now, that was on the last day that he worked. That the Bible said, after he formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils, I mean spirit, into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. So after God had did that, made man, he turned around and took a rib a little bit later on and made a female. Now man was a glory of his creation was man. He breathed life into man. Man, the woman grasped for breath and was able to get her breath. Man had to be breathed, had to be the breath of life, had to be given breath of life was given to man. So when we look at that, we really, really need to think about he did all these things instead of looking for some hocus pocus. I don't see some of the people that turn God's people away from the church. I don't hear much from them right now. Benny Hinn and a whole lot of others who lie and say they could heal. If they could heal, they'll be healing COVID-19. I'd love to see them go in a COVID hospital and touch the people on their forehead. They want, will not do it. Because they know they can't heal. And it's time that we start lying and stop. Because all you eventually you're going to do when you can't do what you say you're going to do, eventually you're going to run people away from Christ because you lied and there wasn't a doctrine and you lied. Yeah. So we thank God, and I thank God for you, Pastor.
God bless you, Pastor. God bless you. Thank you very much for a good show. Thank you for these questions answered and helping some things to get put out there. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Pastor.
I was just about to say much appreciated. Your thanks is much appreciated.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna keep doing what God is telling me to do, Pastor, and long as he keeps me breathing, I'm going to keep pressing forward. That's for sure. No matter how hard the road gets, goodness and mercy got my back.
All right. All right. They're going to follow you the rest of your day. Goodness and
Amen.
Mercy.
Amen. Amen to that. No matter what. Well, we appreciate it, Pastor. You gave a lot of history notes, so I don't have to give my history fact for tonight, but I do want to give my my health fact for tonight. We said we were going to start doing that so we can start getting ourselves in shape and taking better care of ourselves. Dr. Kemp is very healthy, keeps himself in shape, and we got to do it too. Our health fact tonight is we're going to talk about some elderberry. I don't know if you've heard of elderberry, but you need to check and get you some elderberry, okay? Elderberry is the dark purple berry of the European or black elder tree, which grows in the warmer parts of Europe, North America, Asia, and Northern Africa, okay? Elderberry has been used in folk medicine to treat colds and flu. It's promoted as a dietary supplement for colds, flu, and other conditions, and is also being promoted for COVID-19, but there is no good evidence to support its use, it says. So make sure that you get you some elderberry and get some elderberry tea or some elderberries and put them in your smoothie and start using some natural herbs and spices when you're cooking and putting better fruit in your bodies and vegetables and exercising, y'all. We have to do that. Let's encourage each other to take better care of ourselves so we can defeat the enemy of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, cancer, and all the things that are killing our people. Let's stand up against it in the name of Jesus with the herbs and spices that he gave us in the beginning of time to take better care of ourselves. Listen, our ancestors used these herbs and spices to live as long as they did. So let us get back to what we know is going to work, is going to do the best job ever. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. God bless. Again, I just want to say thank you, Pastor, for everything that you do for the public, the prayer that you send up for the public. And many people don't know, every morning you give a prayer for the people of this country. If people only know the good that you're doing. So I just ask God to continue to bless you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. We come, Lord, asking that you would open our hearts and open our minds. Lord, we pray we were receptive to your word. We pray it was something said, something done that gave us more knowledge of your holy word, and that we was able to learn something from this, your broadcast, Lord. This broadcast is not relevant. Dr. Kemp's, it's not Dr. Williams, Reverend Williams. It's all about you, because the both of us, we only come to lift you up, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you look over those who lost their homes and fires on the West Coast, Lord, and who are enduring right now without their homes. We ask that you would bless those who have lost, been ravaged by hurricanes earlier, and the one that hurricane is on the way now. We ask that you bless them. We ask that you bless those that are flooded. Lord, we ask that you bless those who lost loved ones with the pandemic, COVID-19. I've lost family members and friends from COVID. Bless them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord, as they go along, Lord. And give us more wisdom and knowledge from on high that we can come up with a vaccination and a cure.
Yes,
Lord, there's a difference in the vaccination keep you from getting it, but a cure will keep you, even if you had it, you'll be cured and you won't get it again. Oh, Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. There's so much going on. That's right now, Lord, we're worried about climate control, and we have a right to be concerned about climate control because these things are happening too frequent right now. Now, Lord, I ask that you bless each and every one who are listening and make our homes of peace and homes of prayer. Now, mighty God, build us up where we're torn down and strengthen us where we're weak. For you know what we stand in need of, Lord. Almighty and Heavenly Father, we just thank you, praise you. And we couldn't do nothing without you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Every day that we rise and fall, Lord, I ask that you would be with us.
Please, Jesus.
Until you come back for your church, just bless us and strengthen us, Lord.
Yes,
bless Lord. This ministry, Lord, and give this ministry all it stands in need of, Lord.
Please,
bless yes. Reverend William going out. Bless his coming in. Lord,
please,
just continue to be with us. We ask that you allow us to prosper in every endeavor that we put our hands to,
yes,
and that
Lord.
We know we're more than conquerors through you who love us. We ask all these prayers in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, Breaking Chains with the Men of Valor P31 Ladies. We're going to be here. You be here with us. Join us tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Until then, be blessed. All right. Pastor Kemp, say, what's your favorite line, Dr. Kemp?
I love everybody, and you can't do nothing about it.
Amen. Amen. We love you too, Pastor. God bless everybody. Much love to you. We'll see you tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be safe. Stay blessed. Good night.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're family. We are dying,
we are dying,
they are lying, hey. We're being shot and haunted, why you hating me? I'm just trying to be,
I'm just trying to be,
late as I can be,
great as I can be,
grow with one another, living happily,
living happily,
but you hurting me,
you hurting me,
why not work for peace,
why not work for peace,
lying from Zion, and you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love you.
I love you. Oh, oh.
Why we hurting?
Why we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love through all?
Oh.
Can you feel the grace?
Can
family?
You feel the grace?
Breathe
family.
Another day.
Breathe another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful
place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love. I love you, my people. I love
my
you, my
people.
People.
I
feel your pain,
people.
I feel your pain, people.
Monday, Breaking Chains, the special assignment, 7 p.m. Central, a show to feature individuals, businesses, organizations, and ministries about what they're doing for the community. Tuesday, Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp, a show designed to learn about our history as a people. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Wednesday, Breaking Chains with the men and women of God, discussing the issues of our community and world events. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. Thursday, Breaking Chains with the men of valor, brotherhood, coming together to discuss issues that need to be addressed and confronted. Every Thursday, Breaking Chains, a talk show for the people to express themselves and let their voices be heard. Breaking Chains, call in and let your voice be heard at 858-357-9137 or live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, YAT Radio, or send us an email at youngadultstalk@gmail.com. It's Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Young Adults Talk is Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains.
You've been listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.